This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Tuesday, March 2nd, 2021. I'm Caleb Brown. The fences are still up at the Capitol. Now, congressional Democrats are working to put fences up between constituents and their elected representation and fetter speech online more generally. Will Duffield is a policy analyst at the Cato Institute. He discusses the unworkability of the current proposal. H.R. 1 is the Democrats' package of election reforms that they would like to see. One of the major elements of that legislation that they've offered is what's known as the Honest Ads Act, which we've seen elements of in previous pieces of legislation. But what is basically in it?
So the Honest Ads Act was originally introduced in 2017 as a standalone bill intended to expand elements of the 1971 Federal Election Campaign Act and apply them to the internet. It was motivated to a large extent by concerns about Russian meddling or ad purchases in the 2016 election. And it has two main functioning parts that work together to really deliver a far bigger, more expansive change than it might look like at first glance. So the Federal Election Campaign Act of 1971 has long required broadcast electioneering communications, defined as paid speech advocating for or against the election of a candidate, to be accompanied by a disclaimer identifying the organization behind the ad. As well, most ad purchasers are required to file disclosures reporting their expenditures. The Honest Ads Act changes this paradigm in two ways. Firstly, it alters this definition of an electioneering communication from paid speech relating to a particular candidate to paid speech concerning a national legislative issue of public importance, which captures everything we would normally think of as issue ads, but not electioneering communications. Concerns about particular bills, concerns about social issues that aren't even up for any kind of political change. So it's a much, much broader and much blurrier standard. It's easier to draw a boundary around or determine whether someone's speaking about a candidate. It's much harder to decide what is or is not a national legislative issue of public importance.
Yeah, I can remember years ago, then private citizen Al Franken talking about what he called sham issue ads. And these were ads meant to be, divisive, meant to lower confidence in a particular incumbent lawmaker. And then it would say, call Senator so-and-so and tell him what you think about XYZ. And the idea was that this ad escaped a lot of regulation because it was not clearly any kind of advocacy for the election or defeat of a candidate. What Democrats appear to be proposing here is, as you say, much broader and encompasses people just speaking on the internet about issues they care about or spending money to do so, I suppose.
Indeed. And the second part of this bill, which then applies this broader definition or broader standard to the internet, creates a host of issues that aren't then just problems for those running traditional election ads, but a much broader class of people hoping to speak to the public either about elections or other issues.
I'm imagining myself as perhaps like a YouTube influencer. I'm definitely not a YouTube influencer, but I'm imagining a YouTube influencer who has endorsement deals, who speaks on issues of the day. And I can imagine a dastardly, evil group that has an interest in the outcome of legislating on an issue of public interest, simply paying a YouTube influencer to say, hey, why don't you talk about this issue? Here are all of our talking points. We would love it if you would go on the record in this way. And that would seem to allow people to circumvent this regulation, but maybe that's not how this legislation is envisioned.
Well, I think that would, and there are other, perhaps even easier ways to circumvent it. At the end of the day, especially the prohibitions on foreign advertising are going to fall hardest and only on good actors, people who want to follow the rules. If you're a foreign NGO, you rely on private donations from Americans to help a constituency abroad. Well, you're going to be prohibited from advertising outright unless you lie about where you're from. However, if you're some agent of the Russian government seeking to do ill or meddle in the American election, well, there are plenty of American credit card details on the dark web or hacker forums, stolen driver's licenses, or other easy ways to verify an identity or get an American address that could be used to circumvent these requirements, especially when you look to smaller platforms. They're going to struggle to really effectively implement these sorts of policing measures, these disclosure requirements. But the bill shunts all of this onto them.
So I know campaign finance attorneys, and they are often approached by small groups of local guys who want to spend money to advocate a position. And given all of the potential penalties that already exist in the campaign finance space for doing that, and the sort of trap doors that are set around this area, their advice to these guys is usually, don't do it. You'll have to hire an expensive lawyer like me in order to help you navigate this Byzantine system in order to advocate on issues that you care about. Presumably, this legislation would make that problem even more dicey.
Well, certainly more on the platform side than for the individual, but it's likely that in the face of these new record keeping requirements, the demand that platforms, anything with more than 50 million users, come up with a publicly available database of all of the political ads that have been purchased on the platform, that many of them simply would bar those sorts of ads rather than come up with this infrastructure. It's going to be expensive. Political ads don't come around all that often. They aren't a large part of the revenue for most of these firms. So why bother? But unfortunately, that's going to hurt challengers to incumbents the most because they're the ones who are advantaged by this cheaper, more targeted advertising ecosystem that you have seen online. In many cases, when we see some new bill, some new proposal, we don't have a good sense of how it will work in the real world. We may have our suspicions, our concerns, but it hasn't been tested yet. However, with this Honest Ads Act, since it was introduced in 2017, Facebook has privately attempted to implement its own version of the bill, requiring users running issue ads to verify their identity, prohibiting foreign political advertisements, and adding their own disclaimers and disclosures. This has been very expensive for them. It's also had a lot of pitfalls. They've come up with 10 issue buckets, essentially trying to replicate that national legislative issue of public importance language. Things like security and foreign policy or environmental politics. And while these have been over-inclusive and ill-defined and caught out a lot of foreign NGOs, users can advertise elsewhere. But it'll be another thing when the FEC creates a similar system with all of the same problems that we see displayed in Facebook's implementation and requires it of platforms with far fewer resources.
Since the Citizens United decision, the world has been opened up a little bit in terms of campaign spending. And by campaign spending, I mean spending in elections, not spending by campaigns. Private corporations may now explicitly use corporate treasury funds in order to advocate for certain issues. I can remember Dr. Bronner's soap. making use of the Citizens United decision in some of their advocacy. And you have an example that relates to Penzi's spices, which you just brought this up before we started recording. And I can tell you I have at least, I don't know, 10 or 15 jars of their various spices in my cupboard right now.
Well, then I guess, as you must know, they've long made opposition to Trump part of their brand.
I actually didn't know that, but go ahead.
Well, welcome to the resistance. They've placed ads for their Czar Dust spice with inclusive of testimony from the Mueller hearings, along with a recipe for a not a nothing burger. And as Facebook has implemented its own reporting requirements and identity verification requirements for political advertisers, this caught Penzi's spices. And they, because of their decision to include this Mueller hearing content and complaints about Trump in their spice brand, suddenly had to jump through all of these extra hoops and report all of their spice advertisements in a way that they hadn't before. And it really speaks to the difficulty of drawing these lines between political and commercial speech.
Will Duffield is a policy analyst at the Cato Institute. Subscribe to the Cato Daily Podcast anywhere you please and follow us on Twitter @CatoPodcast.